You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The text for today's sermon comes to us this morning from our gospel reading, which is John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now there came a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. The purpose of this sermon is to help us see that God does not fit in a box. He didn't fit in a box in the first century, nor does he fit in a box now. And this God, who does not fit in a box, is a God of activity, who does not mind upsetting yours and my apple cart. What I would like to demonstrate this morning is why both of these things, God not fitting in a box and God being a God of activity, are good. They're good. They're good for you, and they're good for me. So help us get there. There are really just three things that I would like to say to you this morning. The first is this. We are people, you and I, we are people engrossed with and enchanted by controlling the direction and the narrative of our lives. It's human nature to seek only to be in the driver's seat of our lives and the large and small events of them. Which is to say, when it comes down to it, no one really is a type B person. If someone says to you, well, I'm really a type B person, I implore you, take their keys from them and ask them how they plan to get to Pilates tomorrow morning and see how they react. We are people who want control in our lives. And for the purposes of this sermon, we are people who need control in our lives, particularly when we have something to lose. So take our friend Nicodemus here, for example. Nicodemus was a man of the first century who came from the ruling class known as the Pharisees, which were not a priestly class. They weren't Jewish ministers, but rather a group of very influential lay people. In modern parlance, this is to say that they were bankers and doctors and lawyers and professors who also just happened to have a seminary degree. And if Nicodemus walked the earth in 2026, I imagine he would be the vice chairman of a financial institution, the club president, and would be teaching the dean's class following this service. He was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, this religious group that shows up in the Gospels as often as opponents of Jesus, always as opponents to Jesus, except for this one case. And noted in the first century historian by Josephus, they were the group which had the single greatest influence of any party on the common people in their day. The Pharisees had more influence than Roman soldiers. The Pharisees had more influence than the priests themselves. So Nicodemus, like you and like me, is a person who demonstrates the desire for control. He wants to control things. So how do we know this? How do you know this, you ask, Will? He, being a person with influence, being a person with power, being a person with everything to lose, if he were to step out of line, particularly in his standing and influence. So we see here in this text, we see him tiptoe to go see Jesus. At this point, Jesus is a scandalous individual, an opponent of this religious order that Nicodemus represents. And he goes to see Jesus cloaked by nightfall where no one will see him. He wants to see Jesus, but he also wants to control the narrative. Now, to continue my first point, the need for control, as we know, is an equal opportunity desire. No matter the state of our lives. What I mean is, by wanting control is one thing. It's one thing to want control when things are going well. But I'd also like to ask, what is the human relationship to control when our lives begin to feel out of control? Are we by nature Jesus take the wheel people? Remember your Pilates friend? Who took the keys from? Or do we grip tighter? As you and I know, when we feel control start to slip through our fingers, we grip tight. Which concludes my first point. We are people engrossed with and are enchanted with control, and Nicodemus is exhibit A, you and I are exhibit B, C, D. Nicodemus, we see, is the vice chairman, he's the club president, he's teaching the dean's class when we're done here today. He's a man with everything, and thus with everything to lose. And when scandalous Jesus comes onto the scene, Nicodemus wants to see him, but he doesn't knock on the door at 9 in the morning. He tiptoes and he sees him at night. I've also asked, when life starts to feel out of control, as I think Nicodemus' life begins to feel out of control with an internal pull towards Jesus, pull that we feel sometimes, that he can't quite explain, does he loosen his grip or tighten it? Do we loosen our grip or do we tighten it? The answer for Nicodemus, the answer for us, is that we grip tighter. We are people who grip tighter. We are not by nature Jesus take the wheel people. But the second thing I would like to say is this. There have been, and there will be, times where we think that God does not hear us anymore. A first century Jew like Nicodemus would have known this, for he lived in a time wherein God's people, the Jews, lived in, as one commentator put it, feeling quite distant with their relationship to God. And looking back to the times as the prophets and as the time of David, as the golden days, for which they were far removed. Because then God spoke directly. God spoke directly, but in Nicodemus' day, he didn't seem to anymore. And he felt distant. So for Nicodemus, a teacher of this age, a man who's supposed to have all the answers, I think he privately wonders, does God still speak generally? But also specifically, Nicodemus wonders, does God still speak to me? Now, I've said there have been and there will be times where we think that God does not hear us anymore. And this is particularly distressing when we feel control slipping through our fingers. This can make us feel quite alone. A loneliness that is highlighted by the slow or even sudden loosening of control in our lives and the incidents that cause us to feel loneliness acutely. Let me just say, we feel alone in the breakdown of a relationship for which we counted on. We feel alone in the sudden unexpected event within a career. We feel alone when we get diagnosed with something. We feel alone when we look up one day and we feel like life hasn't turned out quite like we thought it would. And in these moments, our appeal can often be to God, Lord, give me back control. Because that's what I need. Though both in Scripture and in life, we can be confident that this appeal will not be met directly. Now, we know that Nicodemus came to see Jesus by night. And now I'm going to ask why. Why did he go see Jesus in the first place? Why would this man, a man who had everything, a man with standing, a man with influence, risk his standing, risk his influence, risk seemingly everything to go see a man who had just cleansed the temple and who was beginning to upset the religious order of his day? Why would he do that? Nicodemus came to see God incarnate, not because he had his life figured out, but because he didn't. And he had one question for Jesus, which amounts to, one, are you God? And if you are, do you see me? Do you see me? And in the course of their conversation, Jesus answers him, not with a yes or a no, but with this. Jesus says, the wind blows where it wants. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. In many ways, as people of faith, I don't think we've quite shaken our habits of life in Second Temple Judaism. In the religious world described in this text, which is to say, we can often treat our relationship with God and our relationship to ourselves as those marked by predictability. We can see God if he is still saying to freed people at the base of Mount Sinai, the giving of the Ten Commandments and the law. We can still see him sometimes as saying, Well, if you do this, I will bless you, and if you do this, I will curse you. We see ourselves in this pattern in our lives. If I do X activity, I can expect Y outcome. We can combine these two dynamics to form the idea of if I do X idea before God, I can expect a Y outcome, which gives us a certain appearance of a certain amount of agency in our relationship to God. And if God is distant and predictable, then maybe he'll let me dictate the terms of my life. But let me ask you this. When was the last time something happened to you, where you were the object of an event? Something surprising, something that wasn't on your radar, something that you didn't even count on. A positive event. And that positive event upended your life completely. What do I mean? In the history that is your life, I'm speaking directly to you now, one day you woke up not knowing that your spouse existed. Not only did you not know them, but you didn't even know that they were a person on planet Earth. And at some point during that day, whenever that was for you, you met them. And your life has never been the same. How's that for control? Imagine with me for a moment where you could watch that day like it's a movie and the scene changes and you say, okay, here it is. Here's the moment where I see her for the first time. I lock my car, I walk up First Avenue North, and I see this young woman walking towards me. And she has a friend by her, but she's the one that I see. And I just have to stop for a moment to take this all in. The third thing I would like to say to you is an appeal. As people who want control, as people who are prone to wonder, does God still hear me? My appeal to you is for you to ask God, even if you have to go see him by night, and to ask him, do you see me? Do you see me? And then to recall, I encourage you to think of a time, if you have one, and you do have one, when something happened to you that you did not plan for, that you did not manufacture, something that you could not have foreseen, but as you look back, there is nothing but the hand of God in it. Something like the first time you met the living God. Something like the first time the living God met you. That is the wind. That is what Jesus is describing. That is who Jesus is describing. The God who moves. And the God who finds you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.